Okay, are we ready to pray? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this beautiful morning. We really are blessed, Father, and we're blessed to know you. We're blessed to know your love. We're blessed to be called children of God. We're blessed to be able to cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. And Father, I just want to start by praising you. I thank you for blessing Chrissy, blessing Summer with the help that Summer needs. And not only is it help for Summer, but it's help for Chrissy. And we're so thankful for that. God, we know that's answered prayer. We thank you for that. And Father, we want to continue to pray for Micah, Father, that you would help him to turn from evil and put his faith in Christ, that he may be saved. And I thank you for the promise, God, that Chrissy's home is blessed because you live there with her. And I pray, God, you continue to just give them a hedge of protection and protect them from anything that that may try to get in. Father, we want to pray for Sammy. Father, we pray that you would protect him from the effects of this seizure that he just endured. We pray that you bring healing, God, to his head, to his brain. We pray, Father, you'll deliver him from these things. We pray, Father, you'll heal him even now, God, if he's dealing with a headache. We pray you'll give him relief. Father, we want to pray for Millie. Father, we pray, God, that you would indeed do what's best for her. We pray that you'll put her in a place, God, that's best for her health. And we pray, God, that you'll give her peace about things and help her to trust you. And I pray the same for Greg and Liz, God, that you'll give them peace and give them wisdom, God, as they have to make decisions. Father, we pray for Carol. And we pray, God, that you'll continue to bless her health. We pray you continue to heal her body. And we pray, Father, you give her wisdom as she has to make decisions. Father, we pray you bless Leanne. Father, the things that her and her family have had to endure. And we know, Father, that only by your grace and your hand carrying her, God, that she's making it through. And I pray, God, for the situation that she's facing. I pray that you'll intervene, God, in her family, between her and Trevor. I pray, Father, that you would be able to find a way, God, to bring healing to their marriage. I pray, Father, that you would speak to Trevor and help him, God, to truly turn to you in repentance and faith. Please bring healing, God, to their marriage, to their family. And I pray, Father, you'll walk them through having to face again things that took place with Troy as they go back to court. Please, Father, I pray, Father, you'll put your arms around them and carry them through this in a way, God, that we know only you can. Through it, God, I pray that Leanne would recognize that you're giving her strength.
Yes, Lord.
And that you're giving her wisdom. And I just pray, Lord, you'll help her to just trust in you with all her heart through each and every step. Father, we pray for Angie that you bless her job interview. We pray, Father, that your will be done. Father, we pray for Terry and Teresa and the family. Again, Father, they're enduring. They're grieving and they're enduring hardship. And we know, God, how that affects people differently. And my prayer is that through their side of the family and through Stevie's side of the family, God, I pray that there'll be peace. Please help them, God, to not think of themselves, but to realize that this is about remembering their daughter. And help them to put away anything that's selfish. Help them to think of the needs of others above their own. And Father, we want to lift up a prayer for Mary's sister. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to draw her to yourself. Only you, God, can change a person's heart. Father, we love you. We are thankful that you love us. We thank you for your grace toward us, your patience. And God, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We know without you, God, we can't make it. We can't make it. And so we entrust ourselves to you. Father, I pray, now as we read your word together, I pray that you would speak through it and help us to grow. Please wash us clean through your word. God, we love you so much, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Isn't that interesting? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. So exciting. It's exciting because I know what I'm going to say. I don't. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. What does it mean to be happy? Well, in this context, happy or blessed, the word is interchangeable. You can use the word happy. You can use the word blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be happy? Well, happiness is a state of being right with God. How about that? Happiness is the condition of well-being that comes as a reward for righteousness. I didn't write those. I found those definitions. I thought they were good. Kind of put those two together from many things that I read this week. There indeed is a condition of well-being that comes from doing things God's way. That's what this is talking about. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And I was thinking about what it means to live a blessed life. And I think this is something we need to address. Because the blessed life means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And I think it gets distorted. Okay? So I think we need to take a look at, I think, the best picture of what a blessed life looks like, and that is found in something called the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, or the attitudes that should be, this is a description of the blessed life, and I think it would do us good to read through this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says that, seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up on a mountain. That's why it's called the Sermon on the Mount, because he went up on a mountain. In Luke chapter 6, it says he came down from a mountain. That's why that one's called the Sermon on the Plain. I don't think they're the same sermon. It's a God can repeat himself if he wants to, right? That's the key to learning, is repetition. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Yes.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. De-escalate. De-escalate. Don't add to the problem. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. How many of you rejoice when someone talks bad about you? My first reaction is usually not, woohoo! Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, I read through that kind of quick, but I want to go back. Let's make a note about each one, okay? The blessed life is found here, okay? And the blessed life begins with being able to admit your need for God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And listen, that doesn't go away. None of these go away, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And when you've been a Christian 60 years, still you are poor in spirit because you still need God or you won't make it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We can admit our need for God. That's the blessed life. It's the beginning of wisdom, really. We could tie all this stuff together. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. The blessed life is a life of tears. The blessed life is a life of tears.
He collects them and counts them in a jar. I found that.
Yeah.
Isaiah, was it? Mm-hmm.
Yep. God keeps our tears in a bottle.
Every single tear.
All right. Hold on a second. I think it was David that said that.
He cares about us that much.
Yeah, I want to say it was David. Okay. Psalm 56, verse 8. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Keeping a record of all of it. Psalm 56, 8. The blessed life is a life of tears. And along with that, mourning, okay? Because tears come to us for many different reasons. But one of the reasons tears come is because of our own failures and our repentance. We mourn over our own failures. Psalm 119, verse 136 says, rivers run from my eyes because people do not keep your word. I was thinking about that. Our heart is broke over other people's sins and the destruction that it causes. This is kind of the idea when Jesus wept. You study commentary on why Jesus was groaning and weeping, and you know, he knows it wasn't just the death of Lazarus, it was the people around him were heartbroken. And all together, all the heartbreak makes Jesus weep. You see what I'm saying? All of it together. Psalm 119:136, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law.
Pastor Corey, remember the guy who had the beard and he was pulling his hair out of his beard because of sin?
Oh, yeah. That was Ezra. Ezra? I feel that way sometimes, too.
Ouch.
Yeah, and then you cry because you just hurt yourself. But yeah, along with the tears, I want to say this, that the blessed life is a life of telling people you're sorry when you make a mistake. A lot of people miss out on that blessing because they like to blame everybody else for their problems. You'll find a blessing if you can admit where you're wrong. Mourning over failure, our failure, mourning over other people's failures, mourning over the destruction of sin. The blessed life is a life of tears. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. It's self-control. You have the ability to do damage, but you choose not to. You choose not to. See, there's a lot of people who think they need to assert themselves all the time. And that's not how this works. It's not. Blessed are the meek. You don't have to take control of things all the time. You don't have to have the final word. You don't have to make sure they get theirs. Could you do those things? Yes, but meekness is being able to do it and telling yourself no. Again, like we're talking about, leaving it to God to defend you. You know he can handle it a lot better than you can. If you open your mouth, you might just say the wrong thing.
Most likely.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, by the way, the poor in spirit, they have the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn, we have the promise, they'll be comforted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He dwells with those who have a broken and contrite heart. He's right there. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to go out and try to conquer the world. Let God handle that, and guess what? You'll inherit it with him. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This means growth. You should have a desire in your heart to do better. Not to earn something with God or anything like that. But knowing your tears and knowing your failures, right? You work with God, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God is working in you. You got to let it come out. And that you have a hunger and thirst. Yes, I want to conquer this thing in my life. Yes, I want to understand this. I want to have an answer to this question. You have a hunger and a thirst for what's right. And you go after it. Too many people think, well, okay, I believe and that's it. No, the blessed life is going after. It's growing in Christ. Growing in knowledge. Growing in grace. Like I said, I get excited, Kim, because I know what I'm going to say. I'm excited about what I learned. That excites me. And I can't wait till tomorrow, start all over. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The blessed life is a life of forgiving. Forgiving. It's a life of saying you're sorry, but it's also a life of forgiving others who sin against you. You know Jesus taught that there's a barrier to forgiveness if you refuse to forgive. So it gets in the way. You need to put that down. We need to forgive. And what does it mean to forgive? You remember when we studied that parable? The parable of the unforgiving servant? It means that that person no longer owes you anything. They don't owe you anything. You're not still holding it against them. You're not waiting for an apology. It's gone. You've let it go. That's how God forgives us. Oh, and by the way, that parable taught us that you've been forgiven way more than you'll ever forgive anybody else. Don't forget that. Blessed are the pure in heart. Always tell the truth. Always be honest. Always honest. Never compromise. Never compromise. People today who think they're just going to shave a little off the edges so that they can make people happy, it's not working. It's not working. You're just making a bunch of religious people who are lost. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away. That's the blessed life, by the way. Tell them the truth. Being honest. You'll see God. You'll see God work if you walk in honesty. That's what it says right there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oof. We're not here to start fights, right? We're here to tell the truth, speak the truth in love, and we let God work after that. You don't have to fight anybody. God can handle it. You are to try to stop fights. We're trying to solve problems. We're trying to keep the peace. And we're told in Romans chapter 12, as much as lie within you, be at peace with people. There is a limit where they will say no, then you have to just let it go, right? If they say no, you have to let it go. But our job is to be at peace with people. Yeah.
My grandfather used to say, peace at all cost, but sometimes peace costs.
Yeah, you can't have peace at all costs. Because then you will break one of these other ones, like compromise. You can't, it's not peace at all costs. Pursue peace as much as you can, as much as is within you, but you can't do it for somebody else. You can't live someone else's life for them. Don't let that weigh you down. If someone else is choosing not to be at peace, you have to let them choose that for themselves. You can't. That's not your fault. Let that go. Forgive them. Forgive them and let that go. Okay. And blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you are persecuted, you are blessed. That doesn't mean it's going to feel good, okay? But Jesus himself said, the Lord will reward you for your faithfulness. Now let me tell you this. Persecution is not just having a bad day, okay? Unbelievers have bad days. Christians and non-Christians, they all go to work. There's problems at work. There's problem people at work. That's not persecution. Persecution is where you are attacked specifically because you've taken a stand for Jesus Christ. That's persecution. And the Lord will bless you for that. When you're having a bad day, your job is to trust the Lord through it. That's not persecution. That may be a test. That may be a test, as Pastor was talking about today.
Pastor, do they sometimes know, they don't know that the reason why, do they? Sometimes.
Just that they have a problem with you?
Yeah, that it's a spiritual battle rather than...
It could, it could be.
Are we supposed to do anything?
Sometimes we butt heads. You're supposed to make peace.
Okay.
You know when two goats, they both lift up their head and then they...
Lock on?
Well, yeah, you're supposed to be one of those goats that stops doing that. You're the goat that runs away.
Yeah.
I'm not butting heads with you. And you find a way to show them love, you know, that's not butting heads with them. So that's your job. That's
forgive them first.
Forgive them. Yep. Okay. Yeah, forgive them and make peace. And you also, if you know that person has a problem with you, it's not wise to go and add to it. Don't go up there. I know you love them and you want to witness to them, but if they already want to punch you in the face, to go up there and make it happen is not wisdom. That's foolishness. You can pray for them, and you can look for opportunities to be kind, but you don't have to keep pressuring. That's not being a peacemaker.
That's being an instigator.
Corey,
is there a time when you should not make peace when you're facing something evil like abortion, for instance?
Yes. Yeah. That's why all these go together, right? One doesn't break the other. They all go together. So there is a time where you have to speak the truth, and then you accept the consequences. Yep, absolutely. Accept the persecution. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, because to not tell the truth would be to compromise. And then you ruin your testimony anyway. No, you have to speak the truth in love and let God work it out. And if you get attacked, if you get fired, if you whatever, God's in control. What was it say? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So how many of you think, no, as a Christian, no one should ever say anything against you falsely? That's what the Bible says, right? This is the blessed life. I mean, living for Christ in a world that hates him, you're going to come across this. It's not unnatural. It's not strange. It's not that you're doing something wrong, right? This is the blessed Christian life. It's going to happen. And it says rejoice. You may not want to do that in front of them. but you know, later, Peter and John, when they walked out after they were beaten, and they walked out and they were walking back to their friends, it says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Now that's an attitude that should be. Isn't that something? This is the blessed life. It includes all this. It's a life of humble obedience to God. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's the attitude that should be. Humble obedience. That's what it means to be blessed. That's what it means to be blessed. Okay, let's go back. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Wisdom is something that you have to find. It takes effort. That word find there in verse 13, it means a diligent search, an aggressive search. God doesn't just download all the wisdom into your brain. You have to take time to read and study and pray. Proverbs 8:17 says, that this is wisdom speaking again, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Seeking wisdom. Seeking the knowledge of God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm taking my notes. I'm praying that God gives me understanding. I'm listening to the teacher. I'm asking questions. I'm asking questions. That's how I learned most. I got questions. I got to know, what does this mean? I got to be sure that what I believe, you know, is rooted in the Word. I got questions. I need to get answers. How do we get wisdom? Diligently, we study and we pray. Man, that's hard. See, so simple, it's hard. So So simple, it's hard. James 1:5, we read that verse a bunch already in Proverbs. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He don't get mad when you ask him for wisdom. He don't get mad when you ask him for wisdom. Just like I don't get mad when you ask me a question. Because God's excited to share. He wants to share that with us. But he wants us to seek it. And he honors that. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, you know, that's the all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you need it to correct you, to correct your thinking, to teach you, to humble you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what you believe. That's how you know what you believe is a scripture. For reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. So that's it. How do you find it? Study the scripture and pray. You knew that, but I want to remind you. See, false teachers, there's a lot of them these days. They count on people not knowing the Bible. And you just hear something and just soak it up. So, okay. It shouldn't be that way. It should be when you're listening and stuff's not right. Oh, those red flags will pop up. Nope. Wait a minute. Scripture says this. You got to make the investment so that you can learn. Most people are not willing to make the investment. The profits of wisdom are greater than wealth. Proverbs 3, verse 14 and 15, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her.
So many people take that verse out of context and think it means something about women and their value.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Because in the book of Proverbs, there's two things that are more precious than rubies. Okay? There's two things more precious than rubies in the book of Proverbs. Number one, wisdom. And number two, a virtuous wife. That's in Proverbs 31. Every woman knows Proverbs 31. They don't go together, right?
Right.
They don't go together. But yes, a virtuous wife, her worth is far above rubies. So, hey, if you got a virtuous wife and wisdom, you be blessed, my brother.
Like a king.
Humility, Caroline. Humility. She said, boy, are you blessed.
Wait till later. He's not going to take you off for dinner.
Oh. Okay, so why is wisdom worth more than wealth? Well, because wealth can't give you wisdom, right? Wealth can't teach you how to live a godly life. Wealth can't solve problems. A lot of people think wealth solves problems, but the Bible says that wealth creates problems. I have that for you. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Verse 11, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to his hurt, but those riches perish through misfortune. Wealth causes problems. Wealth makes new problems. That's what they're saying. Not only that, but wealth is unstable because one bad misfortune and it can all be gone. Wisdom's not like that.
Pastor,
yes?
Wealth meaning actual wealth or seeking wealth?
What we're being told in Proverbs is wisdom is worth more than wealth. That's the comparison I'm making.
Got it. Okay.
That's what the comparison I'm making. This is why. Because wisdom helps you solve problems. Wisdom helps you live a godly life. Money doesn't do that. Money causes problems. Money sometimes hinders people from God.
But if you're wise, you'll be able to handle your money, correct?
Wisdom brings its own riches.
Hey.
That's the very next section. We're going to get to it. You're trying to analyze way ahead of me.
I'm trying to
Oh, wait a minute, though. I need money.
Yes. I'm just trying to understand. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Money itself is neither good or bad. Right?
The love of money.
I thought it was the root of all evil.
The love of money is the root of all evil. So focus here on verse 15 for a second. In Proverbs 3, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. That's what this is about. This is, what is your heart's desire? Yes. Are you desiring wealth? You're going to cause problems if that's your heart's desire. If your heart's desire is wisdom and godliness, okay, that the worth of that is far above all the wealth you could desire. That's what we're talking about, is the desire, the love of money. What are you going after? Right? We all have responsibilities. Andy and I have to go to work tomorrow, right? Because we have to take care of our family. But my heart's desire is not money. My heart's desire is godliness. I know I have to take care of my family, so I go do that. And while I'm doing that, I'm seeking wisdom, even still. But the wealth is not my heart's desire. I really could care less. But I get hungry sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah, and I don't want somebody else to take care of me. I'll take care of me and my family. Okay. Wealth is unstable. I already read that. Moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. Jesus talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Build up treasure in heaven, right? Not treasure on earth, where moth and rust and thieves. None of that stuff affects wisdom. A moth can't fly on your head and take your wisdom. Your wisdom doesn't get rusty. Well, if you stop reading your Bible, your wisdom can get rusty. But a thief can't steal it. You know, that's why the desire for wisdom is so much more valuable. Wisdom should be our desire. And remember this. I told you this, that the New Testament says Jesus has become our wisdom. Jesus is wisdom, right? It's personified as a woman in Proverbs, but Jesus is wisdom for us. He should be our number one desire. And as we're growing in him, we're growing in wisdom.
And it's something you can share and still keep.
You can share it and still keep it. Nicely done. So then he says, after saying that, all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. He says, length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Wisdom brings those things. But the thing about wisdom is it brings them the right way. It brings them the right way. And by the way, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, this is interesting. I didn't notice this myself until someone else brought it up. The odd verses give you instruction, and the even verses give you the reward. So, we talked about having plenty in verses 9 and 10. So, verse 9, the instruction is honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Right? We have the instructions here on how to wisely get the things that we're looking for. Honor, it says in verses 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Yes, you will find honor. And like John was talking about, sometimes you have to tell the truth, even when it's hard, even when it'll hurt. But here's a promise that you will find honor among men. See, if you compromise, the first thing they'll say about you is, you're a hypocrite. You're a weakling. You're not going to gain anybody. You're not going to gain respect like that. Yep. What people need more than anything right now is someone to take a stand for the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't need any more cowards. Again, I'm not saying start a fight. We're peacemakers. But we got to tell the truth. Okay, so wisdom brings these things in the right way. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. See, wealth creates trouble. Wisdom brings peace. Awesome. Awesome to think that through. Think that through. I don't know everything. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about life. But here's what I've learned. I know enough that my heart and my mind are settled. I'm not sitting around worrying about what I don't know. I'm resting in what I know, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You remember when Solomon asked for wisdom, God also promised him these things too. Long life, riches, and honor. I already told you, we've seen how these things happen in verses 1 through 12. Length of days, not only length of days because you won't do something foolish to end your life early if you're walking in wisdom, but also eternal life. Wisdom brings eternal life. It says, verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. The tree of life brings eternal life. You remember the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. There were two named trees in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. After Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the one he was not supposed to eat from, man became a fallen being. And then man had to die, okay? And so what God did was God protected the way to the tree of life by kicking them out of the garden and putting an angel there with a flaming sword so that they couldn't go and eat from the tree of life and live forever. Isn't that crazy? But it's a blessing. It's a blessing because now as a sinner, you don't want to live like this forever.
Right.
You don't want to live like this forever. But the tree of life, we see in Revelation 22, the tree of life is there in heaven, yeah. It's there. So you want to live forever, but not in this body. So I'll pass on the tree of life until I have a new body. But wisdom is the down payment. It's like the down payment on that tree of life because you see how wisdom blesses your life. You're not perfect yet, but it's just a foreshadow. Okay? Okay, I'm going through this really fast because I want to say this last thing so bad. Check this out. Verses 19 and 20 really struck me this week because it says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew." This wisdom that we're chasing after, seeking diligently, is the same wisdom that God used to create the heavens and the earth. There isn't a different wisdom. It's the same wisdom. Amen. Isn't that cool? I got the chill bumps just now saying it. I was so excited this week reading that. Now, that doesn't mean you become as smart as God. Some people say that too, false teachers, that you, everything God is, you are. That's a lie. Okay? But here you... It's an installment, again. It's an installment. You start to experience the wisdom of God in your life, studying the Word of God. It's the same wisdom that God used to create the heavens and the earth. It's the same wisdom that God is still using as he's working things out according to his will. And you can take part in that. See, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "Now we know in part." We're taking part in that wisdom, but we only know things in part. We don't know the whole picture. We only know in part. But someday, when we're there, it says, then we'll know, just as we're known. That's a beautiful verse too. 1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." Even our concept of God, right? It's incomplete because we're fallen. Yeah, we're not perfected yet. But then face to face, then we'll see him for who he really is, right? We'll see the whole picture. Now, and then it says, "Now I know in part." Now I only know in part. Even though I'm taking part in the wisdom of God, I only know in part. "But then I shall know just as I also am known." The same way that God knows me, I'll get to know him. How about that?
Wow.
So we only know in part, but we get to taste the wisdom of God through the Word of God. The same wisdom that he used when he spoke everything into existence. That is so cool to me. Why would you desire anything else when you can take part in that kind of wisdom? It says in Proverbs 8, wisdom says, "At creation, I was beside him as a wise master craftsman." So cool. So cool.
Jesus.
Yep, Jesus.
Jesus.
He's our wisdom. Pretty cool. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time in your Word. Your Word is alive and powerful, and it touches our hearts, and I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful you let us have a part in your wisdom. And I pray, Lord, you'll give us that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because I know when that's our hunger and our thirst, we'll be fulfilled. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you. Help us to grow in our grace toward others. Father, thank you so much. We love you. Please continue to bless this day. Please use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here.